And good morning. Thank you for tuning in this Wednesday, April 25th. This is The Morning Show, and I'm solo today. I'm Susie Prez, your host. And we are here during this primary season on Wednesday edition of The Morning Show. We have dedicated it to the upcoming May 15th primary election, and we are hosting a show called Local Decision 2018 Primary. We want to give the voters an opportunity to hear directly from the candidates in contested races. And today, currently, we have the assessors, because the current assessor, Jerry Clemens, is retiring. So there is the Republican side of the ticket. We have three candidates who are up for election. So we're just going to introduce you. Donna Gao. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
And Dennis Engelhardt.
Good morning.
And Richard Miller.
Very good. Thank you.
I keep wanting to say Jerry Clemens because I think he's been in there since 2007, and now we are going to have a race here. Now, we don't have the Democrat here because they're on the other side of the ticket, and it's an uncontested Democratic side of the primary. But before we get to all the questions, and by the way, many folks wrote in email-wise and called with questions for this particular race more than any other of the interviews that we've been hosting here. So it's an interesting race. People are very interested in this position. So we really appreciate all three of you coming in and speaking on the radio this morning. But before we get to that, how about the weather from the National Weather Service? They're saying currently it's 36 degrees. It feels warmer to me. Maybe I'm anticipating a high today of 71 and sunny. There's no clouds in that little picture on that screen. And low tonight, 39. Sunny tomorrow, high of 74. And then Friday, high of 78. Then on Saturday, we're going to move into some more rain through Sunday and the beginning of the week next week. But let's just enjoy the weather as it's happening right now. So it looks like we're going to have a good time out there. Again, I want to welcome all of you to the show, Donna, Richard, and Dennis. I think we'll be asking each of you the same question and rotate who starts the answers. And we're going to start by... let's start with each of you giving the listeners a picture of who you are, a little bit about your background, and why you are running for this assessor's position. And we're going to start with Donna this time, and we'll just rotate through. And you have about 2 to 3 minutes, and you can start anytime, Donna.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank KRFY for this opportunity. My name is Donna Gao, and I am running for Bonner County Assessor. My husband George and I have lived in Bonner County and owned property in Bonner County for 35 years, and he is retired law enforcement here in Bonner County. Our two sons have followed in our footsteps of public service. Our oldest son currently serves in the U.S. military, and he has earned 2 Bronze Stars for his service in Iraq and Afghanistan. Our youngest son is a battalion chief for Selkirk Fire. I have been in the assessor's office for over 27 years. I have over 500 hours appraisal education, and I have appraised a variety of properties in Bonner County. This gives me the ability to train, guide, and supervise the assessment personnel. Without this ability, the assessor is dependent on others to do this, and that is the current situation in the office. The reason I am running is because I have heard the concerns both outside and inside the office about the current management. I know the problems that are existing in the assessor's office, and I know how to correct them. I would appreciate your vote on May 15th, Donna Gao, Assessor.
Well, thank you very much for that, and just learning how to reset my stopwatch. There we go. And we'll go with Richard Miller. The same question. Would you like me to repeat it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Give us, the listeners, a picture of who you are, a little bit about your background, and why you are running for the assessor position.
Okay, my name is Richard Miller, and I am running for Bonner County Assessor. We've owned property here since 1994, raised a family here. My wife, I'm married to Susan Arima, who's a local acupuncturist, and my daughter graduated Sandpoint High School and is now graduating University of Idaho. I've been running my company, Dr. Splinter's Woodworks, here for a little over 20 years. This has given me the opportunity to work with a variety of people around the county, different types of buildings, different type of areas. In addition to that, in running the company, I've been running my own businesses for over 40 years. So this has given me a rather unique perspective on things, in that I've had to do not only management, but personnel training and hiring, accounting, budgeting, not just my money, but also the money for my customers. Whenever we start a project, let's say a remodel, and I have a certain budget and a timeline, this requires me to bring in their jobs on time, on budget, no excuses. And this is very important in an office which has a budget, which is the county office. Most of it does go to personnel, but so you really need to watch your expenses on different aspects of it. As far as what got me into the race, well, in talking to people around the county when I work with them, there was a perception that when they got an assessment and they thought it was unfair, they'd go in for a Board of Equalization hearing, talk to the assessor, and then have a BOE hearing. When they'd go in there sometimes, they felt like they weren't being heard. They would be given, told there were no comps initially. Then when they go in for the hearing, people would drop three or four comps on them, and they didn't even have time to review them. And upon review, some of them proved to be, well, inaccurate. So I think that the people of Bonner County need somebody who's going to look after their interests and ensure that they're heard when they come in the office. They feel welcomed and knowing that they're going to get a quick response and with respect. And I believe that's what the people of Bonner County want. And with 40 years of business management, budgeting, and all the other things I mentioned, I think that makes me a unique candidate. Thank you.
And that was Richard Miller. And we'll move on to Dennis Engelhart. Same question.
Thanks, Susie, and thanks to KRFY. I'll begin with a little background on myself. My name is Dennis Engelhart. My wife, Dana, and I have been property owners in Bonner County for 17 years. I had a 30-year career in law enforcement, retired as a sheriff's captain, responsible for a $23 million budget and a staff of over 260. Before that, I served in the Marine Corps, which included a tour in Vietnam. Education-wise, I have an associate's degree in criminal justice, and I also have a bachelor's degree in vocational education and some 20 years' experience in developing and managing public agency budgets. This is a Republican primary that the three of us are running in, so I'll share with your listeners that I've been an active and registered Republican for 45 years. I have served as a state committeeman for Bonner County, and I've also chaired two state convention delegations for the county. I'm running for a county assessor because the principal duties of the assessor are those of an administrator, and the office deserving of reliable and supportive leadership with a new and fresh perspective. I have many years of experience in management and administration, and I believe I can offer a common sense leadership to the benefit of property owners and the employees of the assessor's office. I'm also motivated by discussions that I've had with property owners around the county who have dealt with the assessor's office in the past and who have come away feeling as though there was little regard for their concerns. As the assessor, I would work to rebuild that trust and confidence between property owners and the office of the assessor, and do so primarily by working in four areas, the first being fair assessments. Now, everybody knows that our homes and businesses are the biggest investment we should make, and their assessments should be fair and equitable. I've learned in talking to people out there that just the mere perception of unfairness serves to frustrate property owners and actually, in my mind, compound the duties of the assessor. And when it comes to those duties, I think there needs to be more transparency and accessibility. I believe the more that the people understand about how the assessor's office operates, the less intimidating it is likely to seem. I would make both the assessment and the appeal processes readily available to the public. And finally, I believe we need a culture of public service in the office. It's my belief that things like constructive accountability, team building, promoting morale are all top-down responsibilities. And when those things exist in as standards within an organization, then things like customer appreciation and service improve, and what I call a culture of public service can thrive. I have the experience and the education required to provide the employees of the assessor's office with both the direction and the support needed to foster good public service and provide a safe, productive, and rewarding work environment. My name is Dennis Engelhardt, and I am asking for your support and vote on May 15th for Bonner County Assessor. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for the introductions. I want to read something off from the website because I have a feeling people understand that the assessor's position is important but might not understand exactly what it does. And this is a description of the position off the website. The assessor's office keeps a record of ownership changes, maintains maps of property boundaries, keeps descriptions of building characteristics, and keeps track of properties that have exemptions. The assessor also analyzes trends in sale prices, construction costs, and rents to establish the value of all taxable property tax. It pretty much says it all. So we'll get into a little bit more about the details of the job, but this is one that has to do with why you're running as Republicans. Is county assessor even a position that should be political or partisan? How will your party identification as Republican affect your decision-making as assessor? And Richard, you have 30 seconds to a minute to kind of go over that. And we'll start with you, Richard.
Okay. In my world, the assessor is nonpartisan. He represents everybody in the county equally without regard to economic or regional bias, whether they're part-time or full-time residents. I think that pretty well sums it up.
Well, thank you very much. That was quick and to the point. And we'll go with Dennis. Same question.
Yeah, thank you. I look at the position as an administrative position because that's what it is. It requires somebody who has that kind of background. I look at it in that light far more than I do a partisan as a part of the position, because the person holding that office needs to be fair and equitable with all citizens of the county when it comes to evaluating their taxes or assessments.
Okay, thank you. And Donna, same question. Do you want me to repeat it by the time it gets to the third person?
Sure.
Okay. The county assessor, is this even a partisan or political position? And how will your party identification as Republican, since you're all running as Republicans, affect your decision-making as assessor?
It is an apolitical position where we don't have any political influence except for the fact that as a Republican, I believe in fiscal responsibility, and that would, as a Republican, that's what I would bring to the office.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay, we'll move on from that original description that I gave prior to that question. What do you see, and we'll start with Dennis this time, what do you see as the duties and responsibilities? I know we've already spoken to those in your opening statements, but specifically the duties and responsibilities of this position, but also what experience, training, and qualifications do you have that prepare you to carry out the duties of the assessor? Mm-hmm. And I'll give 2 minutes or three because it's a big question.
It is a big question. Statutorily speaking, the assessor is responsible for determining the equitable values of both real and personal property in the county for tax purposes, using the rules that are prepared by the state tax commissioner. The office of the assessor is also an agent for the Department of Idaho Transportation when it comes to vehicle titling and registrations and collecting fees for that. And in that position, they're an authorized vendor for the state Department of Parks and Recreation, registering things like snowmobiles, ATVs, etc. There is a very obscure duty that the assessor has, and hopefully it never comes to pass, but assessors can be ordered by the governor to carry out the registration of all county residents liable for service should the state militia be called up by the government. Now, when you're talking about day-to-day activities, then probably the most important responsibilities of the assessors are those of an administrator, you know, establishing and executing policy, budget development and management, development and maintenance of healthy employee relationships. It's also the responsibility of the assessor to promote open and trusting friendships with the public, local government, and members of our business community. And when it comes to conflicts arising within the organization, then it's the responsibility of the assessor to use the law, the facts presented by all parties, and common sense to mediate and resolve the matter. Bottom line is, I think without experience, administrative leadership, operational responsibilities would suffer, and then the potential county liability would increase.
Okay, thank you. And Donna, the same question. I'll repeat it at any point in time if you want.
Okay, thank you. The primary duty of the assessor is to make sure that assessments are accurate, fair, and equitable. And my qualifications for that are is because I have appraised properties and I know how to read all the reports and look at the different measures of fairness and equitability, that I would be able to ensure that these were done properly. Presently, we do have an administrator without appraisal experience, and his supervisors have less than 5 years of appraisal experience. And they are doing some things that do not promote fairness and equitability. Because I know appraisal and how to do appraisals, I can fix this and make sure that the public has confidence that we are doing fair and equitable assessments. As far as accuracy, it is important to have as the most accurate information as possible. We do have a lot of agencies that do rely on our information. Realtors, title companies, insurance companies, they all rely or call us daily for information regarding properties, the characteristics. The Department of Motor Vehicles, they are sometimes the poor, ugly stepsister of the assessor's office. They are sometimes neglected, but they are important too. And currently, we do have a revolving door of employees in the Department of Motor Vehicle in the Sandpoint Division. And I want to look more into that because every time we do have a turnover of employees, it does cost the taxpayers money. So I have enough administrative experience, and my husband and I have a small business, so we do manage employees. We do hiring and firing. And I have taken classes to knowing the different personality types and generational differences to know what type of people need to be hired for what positions.
Thank you, Donna Gao. And we're going to turn the same question over to Richard Miller. Would you like me to?
I certainly would.
Repeat that? Okay, hang on. I'm doing the timing here too, and it's multitasking. Okay, where was my question? Okay, the question is, what do you see the duties and responsibilities of this position, but also what experience, training, and qualifications do you have to prepare you to carry out the duties of the assessor?
Well, in my view, the most important job of the assessor's office is to offer the accuracy of valuations of property, because the accuracy of the valuation is important to homeowners because this is affect their taxes, i.e. their budgets. And since most of the people here are working people, they really have to keep an eye on their budgets. One of the other actions that's important for the assessor is to review legislation legislative actions that are coming down from the state if it's proposed. There's an association of county assessors that actually do that. They also help promote and help compile the ratio study, which is what the assessors are supposed to go off of when they're factoring in the assessments of property. These things affect property owners, businesses, agriculture, timber. These are the legislative things as they come down need to be brought to the attention of the individual entities that would be affected by these things. If there's an issue, then go ahead and here, contact this person at the state regarding this particular issue. And it is true, a well-trained staff working together as a team along with the assessor is important to be sure it goes smoothly. I have 40 years of administrative, finance, personnel training, and team building experience in my businesses. I also know property values because I've actually worked on a variety of buildings out there. I've seen them, I've assessed them. When a customer comes to me and says they want something done, first thing I have to do is assess what we're working with, figuring out what it's worth, try and give them a budget. I also buy and sell property in town, so I've got to know what it costs. When I'm offering something on it, I need to know where I'm at on it. What am I getting for my money? What's the quality of the structure? And then when it's repaired, what is its value when it's sold? The hands-on experience is extremely important. And the other thing I think is most important for the assessor's office is administrative is fine, but it's about building personal relationships within the office so that people can work together harmoniously. And that's what I'd like to see, the team building and whatnot.
Okay, thank you, Richard Miller. You all hit on the fact that this really is an administrative position. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit, but there's a few other questions that are more general and specific to each of you. Anyone coming new into a position like this has a new way of looking at things and goals that might change things. So the question is, and this is from a listener, what are your goals for the assessor's office? I mean, you've already explained, you know, having a good team and being able to facilitate all of the tasks. But what so new to meet the fair and equitable facilitation of this position? Anything new? And we'll start with Dennis.
Hi, thanks. Goals for the office. There's a division within the office, and there's a great deal of apprehension about the future for the office, not knowing who the assessor is going to be. As the assessor, one of my priorities would be bring a sense of unity of purpose within the office to the personnel there. I believe the policies and procedures need to be revised or established that would standardize an effective operation, you know, based on statute and on the experiences of the current employees. I'm looking for an update or a development of a five-year business plan if I get into the office there. And like I said earlier, I'd be interested very much in promoting a culture of public service within the office to work to change the perception of the public by engaging the public and business community and the taxing district authorities. And all of this can be done by personal contact forms, media, and an improved website. I think I would evaluate the efficiency of the office and its current appraisal data processing system. I think that needs to be updated. There are better systems out there than the one that is currently being used. And also I would explore the development of lead appraisers. We've got 8 people doing residential appraisers. We have 2 people doing commercial appraisers and others out doing other types of appraisals. But we don't have any lead people that do have a great deal of experience there that could be helpful to others and help standardize the way that the procedures are handled in the organization so that the public can have a better understanding of it.
All righty. That's some goals that you look forward to if elected. And Donna, same question. Looking at the position, stepping into it, if you were elected, what are some things you would bring to the table that would be new? goals, or just your own goals?
My goals are primarily that I personally have an open door and open ear policy. I always listen to everyone that comes into the office. If I don't agree with their assessment, I explain my position. I have testified before the Board of Equalization and the State Tax Commission, and it's not an adversarial position. It is, we present our information, they present their information. I try to explain in layman's terms. I've always tried to explain in layman's terms how the operations of the assessor's office are done. The perception of the office, I have heard it's from the management down, and that's what I want to improve. And some of the procedures that are currently done in the assessor's office, I know that what's wrong with those procedures, so I know how to correct those procedures. As far as, I just want to make one correction. Yes, there are better appraisal, they're called CAMA systems, computer-assisted mass appraisal.
Software.
It's a program. And there are better programs out there. The problem is getting the support for those programs. Currently, the state is working on a program. It's years out, and we have looked into another program. But there again, after the program is implemented, getting the support we need for those programs and the cost. If we can't get the state to participate in that cost, sometimes it's out of the question.
Well, thank you, Donna Gao. And Richard Miller, same question. Did I do this right, it seems?
Yeah, it worked
okay.
For me.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, to start with, of course, we already said it, a well-trained staff working together as a team cohesively. Any updated software that would be helpful that could be utilized. In addition to that, I think that I'm going to use a little analogy. When you take your car to a mechanic and goes, it's not running right. It needs fixed. How are we going to do that? Well, the first thing the mechanic's got to do is he's actually got to go in and look at the problem, see if he can find exactly what it is, and then figure out how to fix it. Coming into an office, when you have so many different people, so many different things, there will be a learning curve no matter what, because when administration changes, relationships in the office can change. It's just the way it is. So it'll take a little time to figure out where the pieces of the puzzle fit best and how they can work together effectively. And again, this is about building relationships, because even between administration and staff, the only difference there is the position. We're all still people. We work together. We're trying to do this the right thing the right way. And I believe that people in the office probably have some pretty good ideas on how to change things and improve them if they're listened to. So I'd have to say that it'll take a little bit of time to figure out the details. It'll be a work in progress no matter who gets in there.
Thank you, Richard Miller. I just want to let our listeners know that this is, again, of course you know since you tuned in to 88.5 KRFY, and this is the Wednesday edition of the morning show. We are hosting the county assessor candidates on the Republican ticket, who are here to tell us about how they hope to be elected and why and what they bring to the table. So this, again, is Local Decision 2018 primary. And I'm Susie Prez. We're going to move on to another kind of technical question. If you are elected, and this is from a listener, how would you prepare for and manage the taxpayers' money used to run the assessor's office? This has to do with fiscal responsibility. And no. Donna Gao is next. Thank you for your help on this.
Thank you. As stated before, the assessor's budget, the majority of it is employees. And so that would be the responsibility in making sure that you do hire the right type of person for the job so that you're not having a turnover, because turnover does cost money. As far as the rest of it, there's not a lot to deal with. It's usually supplies, cameras, a car now and then. So the best way I could handle the taxpayers' money that they would feel confident is stopping the employee turnover.
Thank you, Donna. And Richard?
Well, I reviewed the budget, and the majority, I think it was at least 85% of it, is employee salaries and benefits. The rest of it, there are certain ancillary costs that are pretty much non-negotiable. You have office expenses, supplies, and whatnot. One of the expenses that is for continuing education credits for the people who are actually going out and doing the evaluations and whatnot. I think that's one of the most important things, because if the staff's well paid, or paid well, I should say, and they're competent, then improving their training is probably going to go be the most bang for your buck, because if they're efficient, it makes everything go smoother. You don't have as many people coming in contesting their assessments, and then you don't have the Board of Equalization hearings. So I think the budget is fairly lean as it is, but you can always look for ways to save a buck.
Okay, thank you, Richard. And Dennis?
Thank you.
About fiscal responsibility, how would you do it?
Yeah. The current budget for the assessor's office is approximately $1.68 million. 66% of that is salaries, and another 29.5% is benefits. So you've got 95.5%, leaving you about 4.5 discretionary funds, which isn't really all discretionary, because there are some professional fees and stuff in there that have to be paid. The DMV's budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of $442,000 and change. The cost of operating DMV is shared partially by the state. They provide the software, they provide the license and forms and things like that. And the part that the county pays is covered, or is supposed to be covered, by a $6.50 administrative fee that we all see when we go to register our vehicles. And whether or not that covers the actual cost, or how the differences are made up at this point, I don't know, but I would find that out. The county uses a system of budgeting called line item approach, and that's common to most agencies, public agencies. There have been variations introduced in the past that I think are more effective. However, I would, as any of us would have to do, would use the line item. But as far as the efficiency of the office and how it runs and taking care of the taxpayers' money, as assessor, when I got in there, I would look at past budgets. I'd look at the current budget. We are in the middle of the fiscal year right now, so next year's budget is being prepared for us, and it'll be in place if one of us gets in the office there. But I would look at my budget from both a what they call a zero or a base or a performance-based budgeting philosophy. That is, from zero-based budgeting, I would look at the line items, and if there was a line item that appeared every year after year and was never used or partially used, then next budget that wouldn't be there. I would use performance approach by identifying programs that are helpful, and if that program is not beneficial or is not producing as it should be, then that program is not worth the tax dollars being spent on, and it would be changed.
All right. Thank you, Dennis Engelhard. We're going to move over to something all of you mentioned, that this really is managing employees. It's an administrative kind of position. You're the executive director. You're the manager. You're the staff. So you manage quite a large staff. It's actually 23 employees in the department and 7 at the DMV. I think that's about right. So these are really kind of interview type questions for your qualifications to do just that, and also to interface with the public, because you are a spokesperson for the office. So we'll start with Dennis.
Richard.
Richard. Sorry.
The other Dennis.
You all look exactly. No.
You know.
Richard. No. We're going to start with Richard Miller. Yes, Richard Miller. So the first question, and these don't have to take a long time, but, you know, if you feel like you need to go further, that's okay, too. What is, in your estimation, the key to success when communicating with the public?
Okay. This is Richard Miller speaking.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay. Communicating with the public, it's basically customer service, the same way I would deal with my customers. You have to listen. That's the most important thing. And you have to hear what they have to say and then deal with what their, well, in medicine, their chief complaint or their chief concern. So I'd have to say that, and that again boils down to relationships. So you have to have a working relationship with the staff and the customers.
Okay, thank you, Richard. And Dennis.
Listening is a key to any successful leader. We have a public out there right now who has for some time been apprehensive about dealing with the assessor's office. And that can be changed. And I, if elected, one of the things I would do is, for lack of another term or phrase, is put a show on the road. That is, I would get the competent people within the department that know the different aspects of the operation. And I would go out and talk to groups. I would meet with community leaders and elected officials and answer and explain the operations of the office to the extent necessary to get people to change their attitude towards the organization and develop some more trust in that. Another thing that we could do is the office's website is poor at best, and I think a lot of improvement could be made there. And actually developing the website to the point where it is interactive. So if people have a question or a concern, they can go to that and actually get answers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Dennis. And Donna Gao, same question.
Thank you. I agree that listening is important. And I do have a track record of listening to property owners' concerns. And if elected assessor, I would extend that throughout the office. Terminology is another thing that I learned when I was first hired by Tim Cochran, that when people came in with a concern regarding their assessment, we didn't say, oh, they're coming in to complain. They're coming in to inquire. So we want to make sure that everyone does not have an adversarial attitude. We want it to be everyone to be user-friendly. And like I said, extend throughout the office that we do want to listen to their concerns. And we want to take time with people. Even if we do have a lobby full of people, we want to give attention to the person that is coming in inquiring about their property assessment.
Thank you, Donna. And I did get you. Right. Okay. So we're going to go next to Dennis. Thanks for helping me, guys. Does a collaborative leadership style work with employees and with the public in this position? Does that ring a bell to you? Collaborative leadership is where you bring in everyone to the table to work out maybe a problem or does the higher position, the assessor, really administer the office?
Well, it's been my experience over 20-some years in management and administration, leadership positions, that it's much easier to pull people along than try and push them. You want to get the people that you work with to buy into whatever direction that the organization is going to go. That's why in developing a five-year business plan, that's one of the things I would do. And I mentioned earlier, I would tap into the collective experience of all of those people that have worked there. I mean, collectively, you're talking decades of experience in the field. Why not tap into that when you're setting goals and objectives for the organization? So defined by statute and that experience, that's how I would move forward. So I guess in answer to your question, collaborative, yes, as long as it's within the organization. And two, there's some information on the outside that might be helpful. But ultimately, the assessor is responsible for that.
Thank you, Dennis. And Donna, same question. Really, it could have been said, what is your management, staff management style, and how would you administer that as the supervisor?
My management style would be pretty much, I would be the leader of the group, but I would definitely want participation. And especially with like the realtors, it's important to get information from the realtors. It's important to get information from people out in the public. Our appraisers are the greatest ambassadors we have for the assessor's office because they go out to the field and they go onto the property owner's property to ask questions. And one of the things I have discovered is sometimes they don't always know what questions to ask. And that's where my ability as a leader would come into play, is I could train them as to what questions do we need to ask? What kind of attitude do you need to have when you go on the property owner's property to speak with them?
Okay, thank you, Donna and Richard.
Okay, my management style is one size does not fit all. It depends on the problem. In some cases, it will be appropriate to bring in staff to explain something. In other cases, when it comes to like analyzing legislation coming down from the state and whatnot, that's simply administrative. That would be what the assessor would do. So based on the problem, it could have a variety of different solutions.
Okay, thank you. Yes,
Susie,
perfect.
You did ask the other two what their management style is.
Thank you,
yeah.
Dennis.
And mine, over again, decades of actually doing the job, I find out something that is referred to as situational management is the best approach, because you can't use the same approach to motivate two different employees. Some you can just point in the right direction and they take off, and it's more of a problem of holding them back than pushing them forward. And others need a little bit more direction, a little bit more help in achieving what the goals are for that particular position.
Well, thank you for clarification and addition to that. So we've been talking about the state really sets the tax code in a way, but in the county here, you're looking at values and they're fluctuating and changing. And property rights and property taxes can be sensitive subject, as you know, and actually important issues for property owners, because it can make or break. If you're thinking about someone on fixed incomes and the way things are going right now, values are going up, and someone could get taxed out of their home. I mean, so there's all kinds of situations where, and we have this thing called the Property Rights Council. Is that still in existence? I saw it on the website. Okay, so we're not real keen on that one. But back to the question at hand, how will you communicate changes to the tax code, so to speak, from the state level, and how would you address someone in trouble? I know that they can do appeals, but how would we go about that? And it's Donna's turn to go first.
Thank you. As far as the tax code, that is up to the legislature, and I've always encouraged people if they want changes. I know we have some people that give the example Prop 13 in California, which we know is not done well, but there are other states that have legislation so that people don't see the big increases that we're experiencing now. If someone is in trouble, we have what's called a hardship exemption. So that if someone, usually it's that they have like a big ranch and they've lived on the ranch forever, and the property taxes are getting so expensive that even with a homeowner's exemption or maybe a circuit breaker exemption, if they're older people, they just can't pay those taxes. So we do through the treasurer's office, and then it gets approved by the county commissioners. We do have a hardship exemption, and personally, I have referred a few people to the treasurer's office for that hardship exemption.
Okay, thank you. And Richard?
Well, the circuit breaker, of course, is the one that's used most often, but as far as the fluctuating valuations, I don't believe the assessor, we have to bring in assessment values within that ratio study that the state requires. If it isn't within their ratio study, they have the right to come in and blanket assess different classes of property with little or no recourse from the taxpayers. So I think it's really important that accurate assessments are done properly. After that, you just got to work within the system. And if values go up, they go up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to hear about the
hardship
situation. And Dennis, same question.
Yes, there are exemptions. To begin with, everybody has what's called a homeowner's exemption. First $100,000, up to $100,000 is exempt from taxing. Then there are also the hardships or the circuit breaker exemptions that are out there. Some of them, the state actually pays part of the taxes, and if the state does that under that particular exemption, then there's no paying back of that thing. And then there can be a deferment of those things. But it is I believe the first part of the question was who sets the rules, and that is, in fact, the state sets the rules on how these things are supposed to be done.
Okay, thank you. Well, we have just enough time for each of you to give a final statement, so to speak, about why you would make a good county assessor and why folks should vote for you. And this, by the way, is Local Decision 2018 primary. Here at 88.5 KRFY, we're speaking with Donna Gao, Dennis Engelhard, and Richard Miller. And we're going to start with you, Richard. You get the first.
This Richard. Okay, yes. Good.
Richard Miller, we're going to start with you for a closing statement.
Okay, well, I offer my 40 years of administrative, finance, personnel training, and team building experience. I know how to budget limited resources. I've worked hands-on in many aspects of property management, development, and construction in 20 years, and I do have a master's degree. So I have the ability to learn and change along with as things change. And I would appreciate your vote May 15th.
Okay, Dennis Engelhard, same thing.
Hi. You've heard a lot about experience from all of us, and I want your listeners to know that what really counts is leadership. The Office of Assessor requires good leadership, and my experience in leadership began when I was 15 years old, working, supervising construction workers for my dad in site preparation. At 18 years old, I was leading a squad of combat Marines in Vietnam jungle. 20 of my 30 years in law enforcement were in leadership positions. My last position, as I noted, with a budget of $23 million, a staff of over 260, supervising 1,200 inmates. I have a bachelor's degree in vocational training and development, which allows me to identify and analyze employee tasks and ensure that they comply with law and whatever the agency's policy is. And if they don't, then I have the skill to develop the needed changes and the training required to make sure that there is compliance. In my career, I've sat on both sides of the table dealing with personnel grievances and labor contract negotiations. I've heard some characterize the position of the assessor's job as a bureaucratic paper pusher, and I think that really does a disservice to the position and maybe demonstrates, in my mind, a lack of knowledge of the true nature and responsibilities of that position. And I'd like your listeners to know that I have the experience and the education needed to bring leadership to the assessor's office on day one, and I look forward to the opportunity to do so. My name is Dennis Engelhard, asking for your vote and support on May 15th for Bonner County Assessor.
Thank you, Dennis Engelhard. And Donna Gao.
Thank you. Once again, I wanted to thank the radio station for giving us this opportunity for the voters to hear what we have to say. As far as the administrative portion of the job, I have some administrative experience, but I've said before that two of the best assessors I ever worked for didn't have a great amount of administrative experience, but they knew assessment. I believe you need to know the job, the division, what you were administrating. I know what this is. I have the support of many people inside and outside of the assessor's office to do the job that needs to be done. We currently have an administrator that doesn't know appraisal, and his two supervisors have less than 5 years' experience in the appraisal field. So I have seen things that are not done properly, and I can change that because I know what they are. And as I said before, I've seen frustration in the appraisal staff and in our support staff that things need to change, and I am that person that can make those changes. I encourage you to vote Donna Gow, Assessor, May 15th.
Well, thank you very much. I want to thank all three of you for coming in today. You are the Republican candidates for Bonner County Assessor in the primary that is coming up May 15th. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And sharing your stories. I am going to put a song on right now, and then we are going to come back with a little bit more of the community calendar. So right now we're going to hear the Beatles' Good Day Sunshine, perfect song for today. Thanks for tuning in. This is The Morning Show at 88.5 KRFY. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
All righty.